Amen. Amen. That's so good. So just so good to have Brother Emerson here, as Judy had just alluded to. He really is the founder of our school. He was the one that had the idea, had the dream. And there are still some here who experienced that whole transformation here. And I just think it's so appropriate that of all days, when I get asked to preach in a Sunday morning service, Brother Emerson, you're here. And I am a product of the school. Don't hold that against the school. It's really going well. But for 10 years, I was a part of Berean Baptist Academy, 3rd grade through 12th. And it was privileged to graduate from there in 92. And I don't ever think of that as being a long time ago until my students say, well, I wasn't even born yet. And then it's like, detention. And just right to detention. Just go. But we certainly are thrilled about that. And that's why the Lord did this. That's why it snowed today. It was not going to happen. But between Pastor being in the Florida Keys and Brother Emerson being here today, the Lord just had to do it. But it is that time of the year, and it is beautiful to be sure. I hope you will enjoy it. James chapter 5, are you there? I hope so. Of course, we just read the passage that I'd like to look at for a couple moments, then we'll go to one other. But I just want to preach to you this morning on something that God has been dealing with me in my life for probably, I'd say, the last 5 weeks, but really even more so the last couple years. Those of you that attend the school, don't worry, this is not a chapel repeat. I introduced it similar, but it's not the same message, so don't start drawing on your bulletin just yet. But I want to take you on the journey that I've been going through. Of course, a couple years ago, we attended pastor school, and the emphasis was on prayer and getting answers to prayer. And the Lord really impressed upon my heart the need for prayer. We don't pray enough. We don't. Including the person behind the pulpit right now, we don't pray enough. And the Lord has just been working in my life about some things. Of course, many of you have been so good to pray for my mom. She's been in the hospital now for about 4.5 weeks. Went on October the 15th down to University of Toledo Hospital. Now she's up at U of M. We're excited about what the Lord's doing, what He's going to do. But it's been a journey for me. When my dad called at 6:30 in the morning on that Wednesday and just said, hey, you know what, they're life-flighting your mom down to Toledo Hospital. We're not exactly sure what's going on. Immediately, that struck a chord in my heart. The Lord immediately showed me some things. We have this resource. We have this power called prayer that is so rarely used. So many times the verse just resounds in my mind, ye have not because ye ask not. So this morning, that's what I want to preach to you on this morning. God has what you need. If you're taking notes, God has what you need. I trust it'll be a help to you. A tale is told about a small town that historically had been dry, but then a local businessman decided to build a tavern. A group of Christians from a local church were concerned and planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. It just so happened that shortly thereafter, lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. The owner of the bar sued the church, true story, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. The church hired a lawyer to argue in court. It had nothing to do with it. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the case, stated that no matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians do not. And you know what? I got to tell you, that is so true today. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that right where we live? I hope by the end of this hour, and it shouldn't take an hour, but I hope by the end of this time that you say, hey, you know what? Lord, if you have what I need, it's time to start asking. It's time to start asking because you know what? God does have what you need. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity. What a humbling thing it is to stand before people who have shaped me. People who have trained me and taught me. And Lord, I stand here today very humbled because of folks who have invested their lives in me. And Lord, I'm here today because of them. I'm here today because of your grace and your goodness to us. And Lord, thank you for the journey, Lord, that I've been able to go on here for these last few weeks as you and I believe we have a closer relationship than ever before. And Lord, what a wonderful thing it's been. And we're not done. We're not done. Lord, thank you for things that you've showed me. And really, that's all this message is today, is just to share with folks what you've been doing for me and what you've been teaching me. But Lord, if there is one thing that is resoundingly clear in my mind, you have what we need. You're our Heavenly Father and you have what we need. I pray that by the end of this time that our folks would be maybe admonished, but Lord, certainly encouraged. It's time to start praying. We've got to pray. Lord, our country is not headed in the right direction. We've got to pray. Our families are in big trouble. We've got to pray. Our economy is not going where it needs to be. We've got to pray. There's a world that's dying and on their way to hell. We've got to pray. There's Christian families that are being lost. We've got to pray. Lord, there's a Savior that I believe is very soon coming. We have to pray. And so, God, I pray that you would speak through your word this morning as you promised you would, and we'll thank you for it. Amen. Have you ever asked God for big things? Boy, I tell you, it's exciting if you have. I don't have to say too much about it if you ever have asked him for something big. I can think of in our family of many occasions where we've asked God for big things, and he has answered. I remember when I was very young and we had just recently moved to Adrian. My dad worked for Ford Motor Company for 37 years. He got out at the right time. But he worked there for 37 years. And I remember so clearly in my mind, they had all these different incentives that they offered at work. And one of them was called the Maximum Suggestion Award. And basically what that was is if employees put in ideas to help the company, help the actual factory. Dad worked at Ford Ipsy during that, almost that entire time. And if you put in a suggestion that saved the company or that factory a certain amount of money, they would give you a monetary reward. And I'm sure the amount of money that you had to save them was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't remember for sure. But I remember my dad said, you know what he said? When I hired in, he said, one of my goals was I want to get the Maximum Suggestion Award. What they actually did is if you did receive that, they would actually give you $10,000 cash and $10,000 towards a new car. I could go for that. How many in here could go for that? Yeah, exactly. Well, we don't have a suggestion box, so put your hands down. But still, it'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? I tell you, for that. And so that's what they would do. Well, of course, there's a lot of red tape to go through if you ever hope to. And my dad had turned in many suggestions before, and they had given him smaller monetary rewards or whatever, but never the one. And I remember he told me about that one day, and I said, boy, I said, that's just, my dad is a very smart man. And it apparently skipped a generation with me, but he's a very smart man. And I said, boy, wouldn't that be great if he could get that someday? Wouldn't that be great if he could somehow receive that reward? And so I began to pray about it. And I know he'd been praying about it before, but I really began to pray about it. Lord, would you let my dad get that Maximum Suggestion reward? Not likely to happen, but Lord, would you do that, please? I remember one day my dad came home from work and immediately he went down to their bedroom. And I probably was watching TV, to be honest with you. But we were just sitting around, and all of a sudden I heard my mom yell. And of course, it wasn't a yell as in, boy, this is a great thing. It was kind of one of those, you know, when you hear mom yell, you come a running. And so I remember I ran down the hallway, and I looked in there, and all over my parents' bed was thousands and thousands of dollars. 10,000 to be exact. And she was just yelling, and now don't be pious, but she was just saying, and she was just throwing the money up in the air. Wouldn't you? I mean, I would be. And then I'd be one, two, three. Yeah, I'd be counting that thing, make sure nothing slipped away. But I remember, I was like, what happened? And my dad, I remember with tears in his eyes, he said, son, he said, I got it. He said, I got it. And he turned in all these different suggestions, but he said, I just want to let you know, I got the Maximum Suggestion reward. And so the $10,000 cash before taxes. And then, of course, they gave him money towards a new car, a Ford Lincoln Mercury. But I remember. I remember. In fact, I can tell you what year this was. 1988. You know why? That white Lincoln my dad drives around. That was the car. And that was the car he got. That 1988 Lincoln. We thought we were something until the first time we spilled pop in it. And then we were dead meat. But I still to this day remember that. And I don't know if my dad will ever get rid of that car because, you know, I mean, of course, it's painfully old now. It's 20 years old. But just to see it, it's just a reminder. Wow, God, you did that. Because there's people that have worked at that company and they don't even do that anymore now. But there's people that work for that company. They never got it. Can I tell you something else? Before it was done, my dad got another one. He got another one. And how good God is. He answers big prayers. But that's not the only one. I can think of several others, even in my own life personally. I remember I went to college, and of course we always tell our young people, you know, you go to college and you're going to find your life's mate there. Don't laugh. What are you laughing for? But it's true. It did. 92 to 96, nothing. 96 to 98, nada. That's for the downstairs service. And nothing at now. I met some people and I had dated and I'd even been engaged. But you know, because I came home and most of you try to start setting me up. Is what most of you tried to do. You know, hey, here's my granddaughter. Here's my niece. You know, here, you know. And you need to meet them. You need to go see them or whatever. And but I remember it. It was like, oh, Lord, you know, this is such a burden on my heart. I mean, here I've gone to grad school. I've gone to, you know, college. And here I'm not married. And so I just begin to make it a matter of prayer. And Pastor Weaver was the pastor here at the time. And I remember he sent me all over the United States, you know, to all these different conferences. And, you know, to receive information. And, you know, and to get all this great training. I was the children's pastor at the time. And so you kind of know the story. Of course, none of those things worked out because the Lord wasn't in that. But finally, it came to the point, finally in January of 2001, I said, you know what, Lord, this just is not working. I'm having a great time going to all these different conferences. This just isn't working. And so I'm going to quit working on this. You just take care of it, and I'll trust you for it. Of course, you know the story that next month, the letter showed up with Angel's picture in it. And we began talking and all of that and courting as much as you can court 1,200 miles away from each other. And we began to talk and everything. But I remember when it started to get really serious. And when it went from just kind of a casual thing, I mean, when the phone bills really started mounting, we knew something was going to happen here. And but I still remember so specifically, I talked to Pastor about it. He said, look, he said, you just need to pray about this. You need to fast about this. And I did. And you know my love of food, so fasting is a big deal. And, you know, but I did. And it's like, Lord, you got to show me, is this the one? I mean, she's so far away, and this is so unusual. Is she the one? And he made it clear that she was. And a week ago today, she and I celebrated our 7-year anniversary. And, of course, we got a little 7th-month-old boy in the nursery back there. We're thrilled. How did that happen? God did it. God did it. You know why? Because he has what you need. Oh, there's others I could tell you about. Of course, the house that we live in today, I think of the Ingalls, and we've been praying for them. Of course, they're house hunting, and not like deer hunting, but they're house hunting. And probably at this point, you wish you had a gun, don't you? And, you know, but still, but they're looking. I remember over and over the Lord, nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. They got the house. They got. And I was like, Lord, but now I live in a house. If it was the only house I ever lived in, I'd be thrilled. You know why? Because God gave us that house. And we've already had that thing assessed. This isn't a good thing when you're just living in it, but it's a great thing when you try to sell it. And the Lord gave us that house at such a good deal. It's already doubled in value, and it's 6 years old. Now, that's not great when tax time comes around, but it's great if we ever do sell. But how'd that happen? Lord gave it to us. He gave it to us. I testified a couple weeks ago. Actually, it's been probably a little bit longer than that. About our need for a car with little Jeffrey and all that. As fun as Mustangs are, they are not your family sedan. And I remember specifically, it's like, Lord, you've got to give us something here. We can't drive around in the. It's not even safe. It's not even fun anymore. And you know, he's getting to be too heavy for me to bend over and click him in his car seat and all that kind of thing. And we just can't just throw him back there and buckle him in, you know. And so, Lord, you got to do something. And it took a while. And he was born in April. And the Lord didn't give us the vehicle till August. But he did. He did. You know why? Because God has what we need. And he's not just limited by the little things. He's willing to give us the big things. But you got to ask. You got to ask. Again, going back to my journey that we've been on here with my mom. She's been in the hospital now for a long time. She's ready to get out, let me tell you. And you know, and her she's had a serious go of it with this infection and all that. And I've shared most of you what's going on, so I won't give you all the details again. But we just keep praying. We just keep praying. And we had Pastor Rogers come down, of course, and he anointed her with oil. And immediately we began to see some things improve. And so many things that the Lord has done with my mom. She's gotten her voice back and she's gotten stronger. And for a while there, it was so painful for her to even move that even if you just bumped her, she would just literally just flinch in pain. It was so difficult. Now she's going through therapy. She can sit up on her own. And all these answers to prayer. And the doctor, of course, who about 3 weeks ago, it said, boy, I just don't know how much better she's going to get. And that same doctor, about a week and a half ago, he said, well, he said, I don't know what happened, but he said, you've turned the corner. Looks like you're going to make it. You're going to be fine. We know what happened. Our God in heaven has stepped in. And see, God has what you need. I want you to think for a moment, what's the real burden on your heart right now? Oh, Lord, if I could just have this. I'm not talking about, you know, riches and all that kind of thing. Most of us are spiritually more mature than that. But Lord, if you would just allow them to get saved. Lord, if you would just touch them and heal them. Lord, if you would just work in our marriage. Lord, if you would just help our family. Lord, they're talking about layoffs. And my name could be on that list. You know what that burden is, don't you? Can I ask you something? How much have you talked to him about that? How much have you asked him about that? How much have you gone to your Heavenly Father and said, Father, please, God, please, if you'll do this. We're in James chapter 5. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, Elias, we know that to be Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Wow. 3.5 years, no rain. Because Elijah prayed. And the Bible makes it very clear, lest we put him on a pedestal higher than ourselves, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was just like us. He was just like us. But the Lord said, but he did something. He prayed earnestly. And verse 18 it says, and he prayed again. And the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What a great story. Elijah, how did you do that? Elijah had for 3.5 years no rain. But then you prayed again and it came down. How did that happen, Elijah? How did you do that? The answer is in 1 Kings chapter 18. Would you join me there? 1 Kings chapter 18, and this will be the passage we stay in for the remainder of the time. 1 Kings chapter 18. And let's look and see just how exactly it happened. Just how exactly it worked. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Of course, we know this is the great victory on Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal have been there and they prayed to their false gods. Of course, nothing happened. And Elijah, he made his sacrifice ready. And think about this, even at this time of extreme drought, has all this water poured on the sacrifice just to make it even that much more unlikely that it would burn. And just in a very short prayer of only 63 words, Elijah prayed and fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, even ate the rocks, the Bible says, lapped up the water, and there was nothing left there but an ashen crater. But Elijah was not done. For maybe even a greater answer to prayer was just about to happen. And it's one we don't necessarily think about. We love the Mount Carmel and the fire down from heaven, and that's an awesome miracle. No doubt about it. But in my opinion, I think the greater one is in the passage here, verse 41. The Bible says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And you can only imagine Ahab, really? You are a nutty prophet. There's not even a cloud in the sky. And we know in a few minutes that is true. There wasn't one. And he looked around. The sound of abundance of rain. Buddy, you better go get your ears checked. Not only do I not hear anything, there is nothing that could even produce rain. Elijah, what are you thinking? But see, Elijah knew something that I hope by the end of the time you'll understand as well. God has what we need. God has what we need. And not only does he have what we need, he's more than willing to give it to us. And that's where we need to be encouraged today. And so let's look at just a few points. Verse 41, the Bible says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Elijah, how did you do this? How did you get this amazing answer to prayer? For 3.5 years, it had not rained. How did you do it to where then, in an instant, it begins to come down? I think, number one, he prayed with expectancy. He prayed with expectancy. Elijah, how could you do that? How could you do that? When I found out, of course, that my mom was very ill, I began to make it a matter of prayer that the Lord would heal her. And I've, of course, been praying that same way ever since, as I know many of you have been. But I needed some reassurance. My faith was a little weak, I have to admit. I think it was a little small. And so I needed some assurance. I was like, Lord, you've got to hear this prayer. You've got to hear my prayer. Lord, I've got to have some assurance that you're going to answer this prayer. Because, Lord, I'm not asking for a little thing here. This is a big thing. Hey, Elijah, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. This is a big thing. But see, God has what I need, and I believe he wants to get it to me. And so I began to look, and I came across a little booklet. And we used to give these out, I say we, but they used to give these out to graduates before we started giving out New Testaments and Bibles. This is a little booklet called God's Promises for Your Every Need. Maybe you've seen it before, and maybe you have one at home. I would encourage you, if you do, and you haven't used it in a little while, blow the dust off and take a look. Because this is a fantastic little booklet. And what it does is it's just taking all the different scriptures that talk about all different subjects, and it puts it together by that subject. I love it. I love it. Mine opens up to the same page every time now because I've used it so much during these last few weeks. And there's a section on it called Truths from the Bible about Answered Prayer. Elijah prayed with expectancy. How did you do that, Elijah? Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Matthew 18:19-20, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And he doesn't lie. You said it, God. You said it. He said, I know. I know what I said. I thought it was interesting what Brother Tim said, because the Bible says, I exalt my word even above my name. I have what you need. Are you willing to ask? John 14:13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 16:23, and in that day ye shall ask nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 91:15, and he shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to them that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Psalm 145:18-19. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Lord, I need this. He says, okay, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. You see, I think point number one is really, we could just stop there for the day. Because so many times, do you do this? I know I do. Lord, I sure do need this. I don't know how you're going to do it. I've never seen it done before. You're probably not even going to do it. But I wish we'd have it. And God says, no. Just don't pray like that. You need to pray expecting. You need to pray expecting to get it. I got to tell you, my earthly parents, when I was a child, when I went to them, it wasn't, Mom, Dad, I don't know if you can do this or not. I sure could use $5. You probably have it. You probably don't want to give it to me. I don't even know why I asked. Somehow I don't think that's how that went. Basically, hey, Mom, Dad, can I have $5? Five? Yeah, what, you couldn't make it 10? 10? How about a 20? Do you have a 20 on you? And, why? I went to them asking, and you know what? I expected to leave with that 5 or the 10 or the 20. I expected it. And the Bible says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give those things to them that ask him? How much more? Do you pray with expectancy, or do you pray defeated? You see, I'm praying that the Lord heals my mom. I expect it. I expect her to be back in here with us. I'm expecting it. Because you know why? God says, I want you to. I want you to pray with expectancy. 18-year-old Hudson Taylor wandered in his father's library and read a gospel tract. He couldn't shake off this message, and finally, falling to his knees, he accepted Christ as his Savior. Later, his mother, who had been away, returned home, and when Hudson told her the good news, she said, "I already know. 10 days ago, the very date on which you tell me you read that tract, I spent the entire afternoon in prayer for you until the Lord assured me that my wayward son would be brought back into the fold." Wow, what expectancy that she had. Dr. Helen Rosevier, missionary to Zaire, told this story. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and her sister. One of the girls responded, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle for the baby today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will die. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely." That afternoon, a package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it, and much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, that girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, "Well, if God sent that, I'm sure He sent the doll." At the bottom of the box, a little doll. And the package had been sent 5 months earlier. Wow. Would to God we prayed like that. Would to God that we would get off our knees in the morning and say, "God, thank you for answering my prayer, because I know you're going to." You know what Elijah understood? He said it to Ahab. He said, "You better get up. You better go eat and drink." Why? Because there's a sound of abundance of rain. It's coming, Ahab. It's coming, King. Please, it's been 3.5 years. I know, but it's coming. It's coming. Elijah prayed with expectancy. Then number two, he prayed with priority. He prayed with priority. Notice what happened in verse 42. It says, "And so Ahab went to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees." He prayed with priority. "Hey, Ahab, what are you doing? You're the king. You're the leader of our nation. And we haven't had rain for 3.5 years, Ahab. What are you going to do about it?" You know what Ahab did? When he heard about that, instead of joining Elijah in praying, you know what he did? He went and he ate and he drank. Isn't that ironic? Ahab, you're the leader. You're the king of our nation. Don't you care that we've gone 3.5 years without rain? Don't you care? Shouldn't you be praying? I think it was the governor down in Georgia this last summer. Parts of Georgia had just had a horrendous drought. My grandfather lives down in Rome, and he testified to it. And the governor of Georgia actually got together, and it was some other folks. He said, "We've done everything we know to do. We might as well pray." And the rains came. The rains came. Elijah, how did you do that? How did you get that rain to come after 3.5 years? I prayed with expectancy. I expected my God to answer. But secondly, I prayed with priority. While others are about their business doing whatever, what are you doing? What are you doing? Those of you who join me today and say, "You know what? I have a real burden. I have something really big I need God to do." How much time do you pray? How is it a priority to you? It was to him. And here it is, the Bible says, and he says, he went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. While Ahab was doing that, Elijah said, "I'm going to go do this instead. This is more important." It was a priority. Knowing that our intercessory prayer is our mightiest weapon and the supreme call for all Christians today, I pleadingly urge our people everywhere to pray. Believing that prayer is the greatest contribution to our people that our people can make in this critical hour, I humbly urge that we take time to pray, to really pray. Let there be prayer at sunup, at noonday, at sundown, at midnight, all through the day. Let us pray for our children, our youth, our aged, our pastors, our homes. Let us pray for our churches. Let us pray for ourselves that we may not lose the word concern out of our Christian vocabulary. Let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for those who have never known Jesus Christ and redeeming love, for moral forces everywhere, for our national leaders. Let prayer be our passion. Let prayer be our practice. Wow, that sounds like something a great preacher would say. That sounds like something a great evangelist would say. You know who said it? General Robert E. Lee. Wow. General of the Confederate Army. You think he wasn't busy? But he said, no. It's got to be a priority. Prayer has to be a priority. And ladies and gentlemen, this morning I submit to you, if you want that big thing from God, and you know that He has what you need, prayer's got to be a priority. It's got to be a priority. What are you willing to give up to get that answer? What are you willing to give up? Ask yourself. Are you willing to give up time? Because prayer for big things takes time. It takes time. Not only does it take time, but it may take up food. Maybe you need to fast through some meals. Pastor mentioned this a couple weeks ago in preaching about Nehemiah. But maybe we need to skip some meals. God, I've just got to have this. I've just got to have this. Maybe it's going to take up sleep. Maybe you're going to have to give up some extra sleep. Oh, Brother Raymond, you don't understand. I don't think any of us are as busy as General Robert E. Lee was. And he said, it's got to be our passion. It's got to be our priority. Elijah, how did you do that? You understand, Elijah just went through a major spiritual battle here with the prophets of Baal, and you don't see him slipping away to grab something to eat or get some type of refreshment. What does he do? All right, next one's up. I've got to have this, Lord. Now it's time. It's been 3.5 years. I've got to have this. But God, I know you have what I need. I've got to pray with expectancy. I've got to pray with priority. It should be a priority in your personal life. I tell you, the Lord has done a work here in my life. So many times I've, well, Lord, you understand, I work for the church and I work for the school and I'll get around to it. And, you know, whole pray without ceasing, so I'll just walk around in the spirit of prayer. And all the different excuses that we use. And God says, no, not if you're going to get this from me. This has got to be a priority. You've got to give up some sleep. You've got to give up some meals. You've got to give up some time. If you really want this, this has got to be a priority. Is it a priority with you? Is it a priority in your personal life? Is it a priority in your family life? Hey, is your family life kind of dull right now? You want to get things exciting at home? You get the wife and the kids together and say, hey, look, we're going to pray for grandma's salvation. We're going to pray that the Lord does this. Hey, look, kids, I got to tell you something. The people at work are saying daddy might lose his job. Let's pray that the Lord provides for us and blesses us. You want to get things exciting at your house? You get everybody together and you pray and you watch God answer. I got to tell you, there'll be no lack of excitement there. Hey, forget about the TV. Forget about the computer and all that. You won't be sitting around that thing. Hey, kids, let's do this. Pretty soon the kids will be coming to you. Hey, can we pray about this? Can we pray about this? It's got to be a priority. It's got to be a priority. And Elijah, how did it happen? Well, I prayed with expectancy. I prayed with priority. Then, number three, I prayed with humility. I prayed with humility. Notice what it says in verse 42. And it says, and Elijah went up to the mount, up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. Literally, that's what Elijah did. Elijah, who had just called down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and had been responsible for the killing of all these false prophets. I mean, you would think, can you not imagine what that must have felt like for Elijah? How happy and victorious he must have been. But he said, Ahab, I hear something. There's a sound of abundance of rain. You go ahead and go. I'm going to stay here for a little while. And rather than stand up and make some glorious oratory address, God, I got to have this. I got to have this. And the Bible says that he put himself on the ground and he literally put his face between his knees and he prayed. And he prayed. God, I've got to have this. Father, it's been 3.5 years. It's got to rain. God, you've got to let it rain. I can't make it rain, but you can. Oh, God, please. God, we might lose our job. Father, we might get laid off. I can't control that, but Lord, you can. God, you got to provide for us. God, that relative isn't saved. God, I can't save him. I wish I could. I would if I could, but I can't. You got to save him. God, that relative is sick. I can't heal him. But God, you can. God, you can.
And he prayed with humility. God, I can't do it. I wish I could. I can't. I can't. People that walk with God are not proud people. Because when you realize how good he is, and how great He is. And you realize how powerless we are. Elijah, how did you do that? How did you get it to rain? Just pray with humility. God, I can't make it rain. There's not even a cloud in the sky. It doesn't look like there's any hope at all. But God, I need you to let it rain. Your people are dying. They're starving. God, you've got to make it rain. He prayed with expectancy. He prayed with priority. He prayed with humility. I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and all that it was about me seemed insufficient for the day. Who said that? Abraham Lincoln. At a meeting of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Bobby Richardson, former New York Yankees second baseman, offered a prayer that is classic. Dear God, Your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Elijah, how did you do that? How did you pray and it rained? I'll tell you how. I prayed with expectancy. I prayed, I expect God to answer. God, why did you make all these promises if you don't plan on keeping them? I expect Him to answer. I pray with priority. See, while everybody else is out doing this, I'm in my prayer closet. While everybody else is, you know, maybe going out to eat, I'm fasting. While everybody else is comfortable in their warm beds, I'm praying. It's a priority to me. Not only that, though, he prayed with humility. And then finally, verse 43, the Bible says, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up, and he looked, and he said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. He prayed with intensity. Can you imagine? And you know what? This is so often where we are. We'll pray, Lord, you know what I need. God, you got to provide for us. Would you please do that? Amen. Nothing happens the next day. Lord, please, you've got to answer this prayer. We desperately need this. Lord, you said you'd provide for us. Please, we've got to have this. Amen. Nothing happens. How long does that usually last? Not long, is it? How many prayers have you given up on? And I wonder so many times just how close God was to giving it to you. Just how often God said, oh, why'd you stop? Why'd you stop? It's right here. Why did you stop? Elijah said to his servant, go. Look for the cloud. The servant came back. Anything? Okay. And he went back. Go. Check again. Second time. Anything? Go. And he kept going. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. And he prayed with intensity. The Bible says in verse 43, go up now. Look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. 7 times. He prayed with intensity. And he just kept having to go back. And just kept going back. And just kept going back. And can I implore you this morning, just keep going back. Don't give up. Don't give up. Your Heavenly Father says, no, no, keep asking, keep asking. You don't know how close you are. Hey, I didn't get Angel Decato to be my wife with one prayer. It didn't happen. Trust me, I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I lost sleep over it, and I skipped meals because of it, and I prayed, and I got to tell you, I've never been happier than I am now. And I was pretty happy as a kid. Most of you know that. And because I was the one running around, probably getting in trouble. I was thrilled. But I've never been happier. I've never laughed more in my entire life than I have these last 7 years with God's choice for my wife. I've never laughed more than these last 7 months with our little son, Jeffrey. You know his story. And you know what the Lord did. And I've talked about that to you before, about how the doctor said, hey, look, I think there's going to be some problems here. I think there's some issues here. He could be Down syndrome. It could be. And we went to God. Oh, God, please. Please don't. Please. 3 things. Please make him normal, healthy, and fully developed. Please, God, would you do that? Please. I submit to your will if that's what you want. But God, please. Please.
You can go back to the nursery today. I think he's got 2/3 of it down. I don't know how normal he is because he's my son. But I tell you what, though, that boy, he is all boy. And he's as crazy as his parents. We laugh all the time. He makes us late for Sunday school. That's my excuse anyway. About every Sunday. And we have to get him up. Yeah, have you ever seen a baby that looked tired? That is just hilarious. This morning was one such morning. He's definitely our son because he definitely likes to sleep. And my wife, she got him and everything. And we kind of have this thing, you know, she takes care of this and I take care of that. And we kind of have this thing on Sunday mornings, and Jeffrey usually throws the whole thing off. And but she brought him down the hallway. It's so funny to see a baby look tired. They just kind of have that look about him. You know, like you and I do in the morning. You know, let's not kid ourselves. Morning is not a good thing. But anyway, but he, you know, she brings him down the hallway and he's kind of, you know, he just kind of looks. He's got two little teeth now. And so he's got his two little teeth there, so he just kind of smiles, and he just kind of, you know, kind of puts his head down. It's like, hey, buddy, how you doing? And, you know, pretty soon, before long, he's going crazy and all this kind of stuff and throwing his toys and all that kind of thing. And we're having a blast. We're having a blast. How'd that happen? He has what I need, and I asked, and he gave it to me. Elijah, how did you do that? How did you get it to rain after so much time? He has what I needed, and I asked. But I asked with intensity. When Luther's puppy happened to be at the table, he looked for a morsel from his master and watched with open mouth and motionless eyes. And Martin Luther said, oh, if I could only pray the way the dog watches this meat. All his thoughts are concentrated on that piece of meat. Otherwise, he has no thought, wish, or hope. Those of you that have a burden, you know what he's talking about. Because that's in the back of your mind all the time. My mom is in the hospital this morning. No matter what I'm doing, it's in the back of my mind. Lord, you've got to heal her. You've got to take care of her. You've got to bring her home to us, Lord. It's always in the back of my mind. You that have pets, you know exactly what he's talking about there. Boy, you get that little snack in front of that dog, and man, that thing is glued. I mean, it wouldn't matter. You know, gunfire could be going off, and that dog's watching that treat. Why? Because I know my master loves me. I think he's going to give it to me. And you do, don't you? How come dogs are smarter than we are? How come? How come we look at our Heavenly Father and, I don't think it's coming. Your dog ever do that? Hey, boy, hey, boy, hey, boy, you want the snack? You want the snack? And he walks off. It didn't happen. Man, that dog's, I mean, that thing will follow you anywhere you go if it knows you've got that treat. And finally, good boy, here you go. You like my imitation of a dog? And gone. How come a dog's smarter than we are? How come maybe a dog's a little bit more spiritual than we are? Well, you're my master. Of course you're going to take care of me. You've always taken care of me. Why would you do anything else? But yeah, so many times, I don't see anything coming. I guess I'll go try something else. And he says, whoa. It's right here. I was going to give it to you. Why'd you stop? Why'd you stop asking? He prayed with intensity. Dr. William Chapman often told of his experience when, as a young man, he went to become pastor of a church in Philadelphia. After his first sermon, an old gentleman said to him, "You're pretty young to be pastor of this church, but you preach the gospel, and I'm going to help you all that I can." Dr. Chapman thought, well, that's fine. But the man continued, "I'm going to pray for you that you might have the Holy Spirit's power upon you. Two others have covenanted to join with me in prayer for you." Dr. Chapman said, "Well, I didn't feel so bad when I learned he was going to pray for me." The 3 became 10. The 10 became 20. The 20 became 50. The 50 became 200 who met before every service to pray that the Holy Spirit might come upon me. I always went to my pulpit feeling that I would have the anointing in answer to the prayer of those who faithfully prayed for me. It was a joy to preach. The result was that we received 1,100 into our church by conversion in 3 years, 600 of whom were men. Dr. Chapman, how did that happen? It was the fruit of the Holy Spirit in answer to prayer. Elijah, how did that happen? How did you get it to rain? It had been 3.5 years. How did you do that? Oh, I'll tell you how. I prayed with expectancy. God, you have what I need. Why wouldn't you give it to me? He prayed with priority. Oh, others, they have their thing, but I give up some things. But I want something from my Heavenly Father. He prayed with humility. And then finally, he prayed with intensity. While crossing the Atlantic on an ocean liner, F.B. Meyer was asked to address the first class passengers. At the captain's request, he spoke on answered prayer. An agnostic who was present at the service was asked by his friends, "So what do you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon?" And he answered, "I didn't believe a word of it." That afternoon, Meyer went to speak at the steerage passengers, and many of the listeners at his morning address went along, including the agnostic who claimed he wanted to hear what that babbler had to say. Before starting for the service, the agnostic put two oranges in his pocket. On his way, he passed an elderly woman sitting in her deck chair, fast asleep. Her hands were open, and in the spirit of fun, the agnostic put the two oranges in her outstretched palms. After the meeting, he saw the old lady happily eating one of the pieces of fruit. "You seem to be enjoying that orange," he remarked with a smile. "Yes, sir," she replied. "My father is very good to me." "Your father? Surely your father can't still be alive." "Oh, praise God," she replied. "He's very much alive." "Well, what do you mean?" pressed the agnostic. She explained, "I'll tell you, sir. I have been seasick for days. And I was asking God, somehow send me an orange to give me a relief. I suppose I fell asleep while I was praying, but when I awoke, I found that he not only given me one orange, he gave me two." The agnostic was speechless. And by the end of that time, he received Christ as his Savior. Elijah, how did you do it? How did you do it? 3.5 years of no rain, Elijah, how could you do that? I'll tell you how. First of all, I pray with expectancy. God, you got to hear me. I expect you're going to answer my prayer. I expect you will. And if anything, I look back at my own life and just over and over again, and I just see what God has done in my life. And that's why I stand here confident today the Lord is bringing my mom home from the hospital. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Why? Because he said he would. I pray with expectancy. Elijah, how did you do it? I prayed with priority. It's a big deal. Maybe it's time for some of us, maybe we need to start skipping some sleep. Maybe we need to start skipping some meals. Oh, no, our country's in turmoil. I wonder how much we prayed about it. Oh, we gripe about it. We forward the jokes we get on our email. But how much have we prayed about it? God says, you haven't made this a priority. You haven't made your country a priority. I'm going to start taking some things away. Oh, now we're ready, aren't we? Man, now man, if we call together a prayer meeting for our country, we'd all show up. Why? Because we need it now. He says, it's a priority now, isn't it? Is it? Elijah, how'd you do it? Oh, I prayed with humility. God, I got to have it. I just got to have it. I can't do this on my own. I don't have the power to make this happen. I don't have the power to heal my mom and get her out of the hospital. I wish I could, I would. But I don't. But I know the one who does. And so, Lord, I come to you this morning in humility. Father, would you heal my mom? Would you heal her, please? Would you deliver her from that place? Would you do that, please? And over, all throughout my life, I had a godly mom and dad that I saw answers to their prayers. And they said, hey, son, he'll do it for us. He'll do it for you. And he has. Over and over and over, he has.
Look at what I did.
Look at what he did. It's him. It's him. Elijah, how'd you do it? I prayed with intensity. God, I got to have it. I've got to have it. Father, I'm the leader of this home, and there is no money in our accounts. And I'm about to lose my job. God, you've got to do something. Okay, I'll do that. Lord, that person is unsaved, and we've been praying for years. Brother Chase even said it. I prayed for my dad for 17 years for him to get saved, and he did. Stacy sang the perfect song. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Elijah, how'd you do it? I just prayed with intensity. I just prayed with intensity. And back in James, what happened? The Bible says after 3.5 years. Oh, by the way, let's just look at it. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rose and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Wow! Elijah said, go check one more time. And on the seventh time, the servant, can it be? Really? And he runs back to Elijah. I don't think I'm seeing things here. I think I saw a little cloud. It was just like a little man's hand. But I think I saw it. Elijah said, you go tell the king, get to Jezreel, the rains are coming. And in that same passage, the heavens are black. And it rains like it had not rained in 3.5 years. Elijah, how'd you do it? It's a simple truth. He has what I need. I just went to him. I didn't know what else to do. Just went to him. How did that family member get saved? Just went to him. I just asked. How is your mom going to get out of the hospital? I just went to him. I just asked. We live in Michigan. The economy is terrible. God, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to keep my commitments? How am I going to keep my faith promise? I just asked. Elijah, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. How did this happen? He has what I need. I just asked. What do you need this morning? Really, what do you need this morning? Have you asked? God, I gotta have it. You gotta save my family member. You gotta provide for us. You gotta raise that one up. God, please. Please. He says, I have what you need. I have what you need. Just ask.